Well, did you pick up on those great tips on gumbo? I mean, where else do you get this kind of stuff? And Chef Eric, you made a very good point. Certain seafoods obviously do not have as much salt, but we're going to be using actually, for 5 gallons, we're going to be using about 3 pints of fresh Appalachian oysters, freshly shucked. If you've ever had an Appalachian oyster right out of the shell, like you go down anywhere along the panhandle, they're everywhere, you'll find that you don't have to add anything to them because they're so salty. It's the equivalent. If you use 1.5 pints with the liquor, that's about 4 tablespoons of salt. So that gives you an idea how, and then shrimp, on the other hand, it might not be as much. It's all a matter of tasting, but it's always best to put your seafood in the last 30 minutes. And, you know, so we will actually be making our roux and everything on Friday and then warming it up on Saturday, because Saturday morning you have to be down to the staging area at 7 in the morning, and the judging is at 9, and they start serving at 10. So at 9 o'clock, you got to be ready to go. And we've learned over the experiences that the first thing we do is we get the pot going.
Yeah.
It takes, what, about 20, 30 minutes to take it from cold to...
Yeah, it depends on how big it is. It can be 20, 30 minutes up to an hour or so.
Yeah, for 5 gallons. And then, you know, by 8 o'clock, you're kind of timing it, because if you throw the shrimp in there, you don't want to overcook the oysters. All you want to do is get them to curl. So you're only looking at maybe 15, 20 minutes tops. And the shrimp, too, the fresh shrimp, you don't want to... That's the big mistake that people make. And I've had the gumbo down there where the people have thrown the shrimp in the night before, and it's like eating tires.
It's awful. I mean, why would you do that to shrimp? I mean, you know you're not supposed to overcook it, so...
So that's what we did last year. I mean, we did the chicken and sausage, so we didn't have to. But the first seafood gumbo, you waited till really about 8:30 before you added the seafood.
Yeah,
and
that's
right. At 9 o'clock, they're right there with the judging dishes.
Yep. Yep. It almost has to go in, especially with judging, it has to go in almost right when they're coming to get the sample, because it takes 3 minutes to cook the shrimp, especially. And I'm not one who minds... scallops that are raw, more raw, and of course oysters as well.
Firmer.
Yeah,
I like them firm. I hate it when you bite into them, and it's like eating cotton.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, what I'm doing now is I'm taking some good Cuban bread, and I've got a grill pan going here. So we're just going to toast up. I don't have a plancha to work with.
Whoa.
Be good.
You don't have a what?
Plancha.
In other words, what? A sandwich cooker?
It's the what's called a panini press, I guess, for panini is Italian. It's not
all right.
Spanish.
Who invented it first?
The Cubans.
Why am I not surprised?
Well, of course. I mean, I think paninis didn't really start making the rounds. I mean, all it is a sandwich. I mean, that's what a panini is.
It's a press sandwich.
It's a press sandwich, but it's they use it typically with a grill press. Let's see. There we go. And, you know, a plancha is a flat surface. And you put butter on the surface and butter on the top of the thing, and then put your sandwich in and press it down. Oh, it's good stuff. Alas, I don't have a...
Well...
Place. So instead, I'm just going to grill the
How gauche?
I've melted some butter, of course, because everything goes better with butter.
Absolutely.
And I'm just putting it on the grill pan here on high heat with that butter that's melted, and I put that on top of the sandwich. So here's the other one. Let me get just a little more butter on there. Put that in. And same here, put that in.
You know, on the 27th of February, if you're looking at your calendar for the upcoming week, we will be live at the Big Green Egg Culinary Center. At the Big Green Egg corporate headquarters. It's a beautiful facility. If you've never been there, you've got to go check it out. It's not only a beautiful kitchen area, but they got a beautiful seating for about 60. They've got multiple cameras, so you get the whole flavor. It's a full-blown demo kitchen. And, you know, you and I were actually given the distinct honor of being the first class that was ever taught at the Culinary Center. They called us and said, we'd like you to be the first. And we did it in appreciation of St. Patrick's Day, and you came up with some great Irish dishes.
Yep.
And there's some great classes going on there all the time. Go check it out, biggreenegg.com. Check out the classes at the Culinary Center, and I think you will be amazed. They actually did a pairing class about 2 weeks ago, was that, Michael? About 2 weeks ago. That was it was a cigar, alcohol, and cooking on the egg class. And it was like a 101 class, so it taught you how to barbecue. It taught you how to pair the liquors with the cigars and the cigars. So they're really out-of-the-box thinking in the way they do their classes. But Kim Youngblood, who's very famous in the egg world, he's done some amazing pizza classes. The classes are relatively inexpensive. They're $45, $50. You get to eat everything you cook. You get to learn great techniques of all different kinds. They have many celebrity authors that come in and cook there for their classes. So keep an eye on it. It's very, very intriguing.
Absolutely. All right, so I've grilled up my bread.
Are you using your Japanese veggie knife now?
Yes, I am.
Shows how much he likes you people. He cuts them so thin. I would give you big hunks of tomato, but that's me.
You just give and give.
I do.
You are a tomato. So I'm wondering, when do you give people big hunks of tomato? Because you've never invited anyone here to eat at your house.
There's a reason. Because most of these people would eat too much. And I don't have a Japanese vegetable knife, so I can't cut things thin enough. That's why I only let one in-law come.
All right, so I'm going to take my Milanesa.
Of course, it's the only one that's alive. I might have something to do with it.
Put that right there. I got some tomato slices they're going to put on top of that. I've got an aioli sauce. It's actually a sriracha aioli that's on the bread. And let's see, last thing, I'm going to take an onion.
Not just any onion.
Not just any onion, sweet onion.
The sweetest Vidalia onions on earth.
That's true.
And if you don't believe us, check with the University of Georgia.
That's right. So I'm simply going to make some slices here. We'll use...
Thank God you're not going to put shallots on that.
No, I'm not putting shallots on
it. I'm just saying.
But I do want to...
There's only one thing I would... You know, ordinarily, I never challenge your culinary wizardry.
Uh-huh.
But occasionally you make a miss, and I'm seeing a big miss here.
What's that?
No Hellmann's.
No what?
Hellmann's.
No Hellmann's.
Yeah.
No Hellmann's.
Aioli? Give me a Hellmann's or a Blue Plate or a Duke's.
Are you not familiar with Duke's?
Yeah, I'm familiar with Duke's. But Duke's is good, but I'm from the North originally, and it was Hellmann's all the way, baby.
You're a heathen.
You know, it was a high-end mayonnaise.
Oh, is that what it was?
That's right.
It was called Best Foods in L.A., that's Hellmann's. There's the big Hellmann's bakery
plant
out there. Yeah. Okay, so here's our first one. No, we're not serving the whole thing like this.
See, that to me is a half a sandwich.
That is a half a sandwich, but we're tasting here. We're not. This is not a catering operation. All right.
See, so, Hellmann's would have come out a lot easier than that aioli.
Really?
Yeah. A little thicker, a little creamier.
All right. So what I'm doing, again, just taking the sriracha aioli, which is basically mayonnaise and sriracha. You can get it all pre-done if you want to, whatever.
What kind of mayonnaise?
With Duke's.
Never mind.
With Duke's.
Never mind.
And then we're laying out, so we're putting that on each side. We're laying out a little bit of the Baby Jim lettuce.
Which, for those who are just tuning in,
It's a small version of what do you call it? Romaine. So let me get the right knife.
Do you know what else would be good with that?
What's that?
Bacon.
Bacon's good.
Now I know that's not purist, but would you not agree that bacon might be a...
You know, I actually considered putting...
Did you really?
On. I did. And
so it's not totally out of the box.
No, it's not. I mean, I considered it. It's not a bad idea, but I just wanted it to be sort of true to the original dish.
Now, what's the best one you've ever had, and what's the most unique one you've ever had?
The best Milanesa sandwich is at Tito's.
Okay.
That's no question.
So you're dissing your mom?
Yeah.
Okay. Just saying.
My mom still calls me for cooking tips. My grandmother is the one who taught me to cook. And
better than grandma's? Notice the crickets? Notice the crickets. That's called saving oneself when they go out to visit next time.
Well, grandma has passed.
Oh, wow.
So I would end up hearing for it for eternity one day. So, although I'm not sure we're going to the same place.
Trust me, you're not. But we're all going to one place right now, a shameless commercial break. It's all about food. It's all about fun. It's all about celebrating the good life and where Chef Eric's going for the eternity. Chef and a Fat Man live from Cutter's Cigar Emporium, the portal to the world of great times, great cigar selections, and great friends you have yet to meet. When we come back, Chef Eric's going to cut up the sandwich, pass it out, and then he will do what?
I'll figure it out when we get there.
That sounds like my boy. Chef and a Fat Man taking it to the streets of Cutter's Cigar Emporium in Alpharetta, Georgia.